Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Cindy said when she left her place, their place, they had sunshine. I said, you should have brought some along. She did, herself, right? Yes. Amen. Welcome to our worship service today. Just a few announcements here that I'll go over before we go on with our service. We do have the Lord's Supper this morning. As you're probably all aware, I'm just seeing, I don't know if we really have visitors here, but if you are, you are welcome to partake with us when that time comes. The banquet, this is this coming Thursday, we serve that. It's down at Yankton at the UCC Church there. We've done this, well, all of our years here and many years before that. So there have been a few more that have signed up. We still need some help. You know, we're just signing in that left column, and the numbers go 1, 2, 3, 4. So when you look down, you might think, oh, there's 20 people signed up. But no, only half of that. So we still do need some help, really. And at 3 o'clock, there's two that are signed up to help go early and help set up tables and help Ramona Bittner. Probably get the lasagna down there and going, so it'd be nice if there was a couple more that could go there at 2 o'clock. The rest, we are supposed to be there at 5. Again, high school students can help with that. It's just a great time to be a blessing to many other people. We'll have an offering plate at the back of the sanctuary today and next Sunday if you just want to help with the expense of the meal. That's a blessing in that way also. Amazingly enough, that's all I have marked in my bulletin, so there's a lot of other things to read as you have time, and please do so. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day again that you have made, the first day of our week where we can gather in this sanctuary to lift our voices in praise to you. Father, today, an extra special day where we get to come to the table that has been prepared, thinking upon you, Jesus, the King, our King, thinking on the sacrifice that you gave for us. You who are above all powers, above all kings, as we've sung, above all nature and all created things. You are above all kingdoms and thrones. You are above all the wonders of this world, for you are the creator of all, and we are your children. And how blessed we are to come and sit at your feet this day as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Lord God, this day, and ask for you to move among us by the power of your Spirit and touch each one, each heart, each life, each body that is gathered here in your name by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll stand together as we sing our opening hymn, O Worship the King. It's number 104 in your hymnals. Otherwise, the words are on the screen. Oh, worship the King. Take a moment, please, before you're seated, greet those who are here. our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. A couple of things that I have updates. Anne had her surgery this last Thursday on her shoulder here where that plate is. The good news is it went all better than expected. They did not have to remove the plate. They just took out the one screw on the end that was causing issues and a flap of cartilage that was causing issues and sort of cleaned up the rotator cuff. But she's not quite up to being here this morning yet, but she's coming along well. So thanks for your prayers. Much appreciated. Judy Fierst had her surgery Tuesday. She's recovering at home and going a little slow, but she's coming along and has her two daughters helping her and Louie both. So keep them in your prayers. Jesse Gehring is having surgery this coming Wednesday on a skin cancer that has to be removed. So I want to pray for Jesse. And Ellie Fisher, they were our greeters today. Ellie is having oral surgery on August 12th. So that's not this week, but the next. So keep Ellie in your prayers. I'll just announce it now. For you Mad Frog fans, our baseball team, they are playing. It was supposed to be last night in the region championship. Because of the rain, that got moved to this afternoon at 3:00, right? Okay, we have several guys on the team from our congregation. That's down at Wynot, Nebraska. And if they win or lose, they do get to go on to the state tournament. So that's exciting. Yeah. Certainly we want to pray for the shootings, two of them in the last couple days, Texas and Ohio. I didn't even know about the Ohio one till I came this morning to church. So, and as always, prayers for our nation, prayers for those families who lost loved ones in that. Any other things here on this side? Mark? Okay. Yeah, all right, thank you. Mark was just sharing Taylor Anderson will be moving this Saturday or Sunday to the University of Minnesota to start that mission work with the Navigators up there. And thank you to all who gave. It was a nice offering for her, blessing, I'm sure. So we'll keep her in our prayers for what lies ahead. Tricia, and I'll come back here. Caden Fisher turned 17 this last week, and he was up at Augustana College all week at the Senior Honors Choir and had a great time. Yeah, let's see, Deb, and then I'll come here. And Lane Schmidt turned 15 this last week. Happy birthday, Lane. Okay, Dawn.
I just could use some prayers. I have some upcoming changes.
So. Okay, all right. Prayers for Dawn Kishba, who has some upcoming changes here. So, okay, we will be lifting you up. Over here, oh, Lee. Oh, okay. All right, sorry to hear that. Mary Heckenleibel's dad was taken to the Sioux Falls Hospital last night. He was having strokes and seizures. So we're going to do some testing. His name is Wayne. All right. Okay. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Father, we bring these things to you. We pray, Lord, for Dawn Kishba here, who has some upcoming changes, and you know what that all means, and you know what it is all about. And we just ask that you guide her, Lord, as she trusts in you with her heart, that you direct her every step according to your will and your plan. We pray for Mary Heckenleibel's father, Wayne, as he's there in the hospital in Sioux Falls with tests. Father, give the doctors wisdom. We pray over him, for your healing throughout his being, Lord, for your healing and comfort to his heart and his soul as well, and just be with the family. Lord, we thank you for the little one, Isaac, their nephew that we've been praying for, that he came through his surgery so well. Father, for Anne, Judy Fierst. We thank you for their successful surgeries this week. And now in the recovery time, we continue to lift them up for surgery coming this Wednesday for Jessie Gehring for the skin cancer to be removed on her shoulder. Just guide the doctors there. And then Ellie Fisher the following week with her surgery, the oral surgery. Lord, thank you that you work through medical science in such amazing ways. And even beyond that, you work mightily by your power. And Father, another surgery coming this Wednesday of and I won't mention, but you know who it is, and I thank you for going before this individual for that surgery too. Lord, you've brought this person this far, and we know that you are faithful. Lord, there's many others who need your healing touch. Pauline Brandt, who is just struggling greatly with pain and back issues from a fall about 2-3 years ago. We lift up Dennis and Pauline, and ask for wisdom there for what steps are next for her. Lord, thank you. For those in various stages of treatments of cancer, and there's many, Lord, listed in the bulletin, we lift them all to you as well. Thank you for working in those physical bodies. Lord, we pray, as always, for our nation. Father, we so desperately need the outpouring of your Spirit. Let your church be strong in our nation. Lord, let your fire, the fire of revival, burn within our hearts that we can shine the light of the gospel to this broken world in which we live. We pray for these cities of El Paso, Texas, and in Ohio with the shootings this weekend. Father, it grieves our hearts as this just almost becomes commonplace, it seems. Lord, let this nation turn to you. We humble ourselves and pray. Be with these families and friends who have lost loved ones during these senseless things. Be with, comfort them by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Open the eyes of the hearts of the nation to turn back to you and to put your word first and honor you as who you are. Lord, we call out to you and we thank you that even according to our natural minds and thinking, it might seem like nothing is happening. But Father, we know in the realm of the Spirit, you are mightily at work as your church is earnest in prayer. We thank you again for the step forward in our state of South Dakota, where we can have the motto in our schools, "In God We Trust." We praise you for that. Lord, for our region here and even locally, the abundance of rain that came the other morning, and so it continues, Lord, and our trust is in you and our eyes are upon you, Father, for direction, for help through this whole year. It just continues, but we know in the midst of the troubles and the things not going as we expect that you are faithful. I pray, Lord, for all this area, but even north of town, just a few miles, 6 inches in a few hours, Lord, that causes major problems, and you know that, and we know it. And we ask for your help to get through all of this, Lord. I know the concern is great, but we know you are greater. You are God on high, and you are our Father, and you hold us in your everlasting arms, and you are the one who can make a way where there seems to be no way. Of all we try and figure out in our own understanding and all the creative ideas that everyone is trying, Lord, if there's something that we're not seeing, a way that we're not seeing, just reveal that, Father. We trust in you and thank you for your source and your provision in all of this. For Taylor, Lord, we thank you that she will be moving up there to the University of Minnesota, and thank you for the way we were able to bless her and have a part in this mission that as she's going, what a desperate need to preach and minister the gospel on our university college campuses. So We pray your protection over her. Give your angels charge over her, Lord, to guard and keep her. Give her wisdom, give her boldness and insight as she speaks to those college students about your love for them. Father, for our troops, we pray. Thank you for each and every one of them. Yesterday was Travis Gramko's birthday. Lord, thank you for him serving in the Navy and all the others listed in our bulletin, and for your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to read a short verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, as we receive our offering. And this is from the Amplified Bible. Now thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, which is precious beyond words. And that gift, as we know, is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let's receive our offering this morning. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we've just read, we say, Father, unto you, thanks be to God for your indescribable gift, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. A gift beyond words, indescribable, unspeakable. And on the adjectives could go to who you are. And all that you have done for us is so amazing. We are humbled and we are blessed. And so we bring our offerings and our tithes here as an act of worship, thanking you for providing for our needs according to your riches in glory. Every need, Lord, you know every need present here today, whether it is physical and some are, whether it is emotional and some are, whether it is spiritually and yes, some are, or far beyond, you are our provider. And we love you, and we give these gifts cheerfully to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time, and Johnny is going to share that today. So thank you, Johnny.
Good morning. How are we all doing? Are we ready for school yet? Good, because I'm ready for you guys. I'm excited about you guys coming back. Well, who likes to watch football on TV? A lot of you guys. I usually watch it with my eyes closed, because that's usually my nap time in the afternoon on Sundays, you know. So I don't get a lot of watching in, but I do like watching it. Does anyone know where the red zone is on the football field? You hear the where's the red zone? Here's a picture. I drew a picture of it. It's the 20-yard line to the goal. Sometimes they call it the danger zone. It's when the opposing team tries to get into the other team's territory, and then they score a point. So let's say, there's on here, there's X's and O's. Let's say you're the X's, and the other team is the O's, and you're just about going to be going for a touchdown. Do you think the O's are going to let you in real easy? Probably not. They're going to try their best to keep you out because they don't want you to score, right? Well, I brought a game today that I made in school. A lot of kids in school play this, and it's called the red zone. What gumball do you need to get out of the gumball machine to play this game? The red gumball. If a red gumball comes out, you automatically get to play the game. Well, it's got a ball, a big ball in there, it's got a little red gumball, and it's got some lines. And how you play it, you spin it, and if that red ball lands on a line, you win. But we have opposition in there, which is that big ball. He tries to keep you offline. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and I lost that time because the big ball kind of kept me away. He actually maybe scared me away. But what kind of lines do you see down there? A cross, yes. So that red ball has to land on the cross. The cross reminds us of who? Jesus. Of Jesus. The cross reminds us of Mount Calvary, where Jesus carried the cross up a hill to die and bleed for us, for our sins, so that we could have victory over sin, right? Calvary is kind of like a red zone. It's where Jesus shed his blood on Mount Calvary. It's kind of like a red zone, isn't it? In that red zone, it's like a big ball that was overcome for us. Sin, right? Sin is a big deal. It's like an enemy to us. It keeps us from God's goal for our lives. So, but if we believe by faith what Jesus did on the cross and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, guess who's on our team? Jesus. Hooray, right? We can be cheerleaders too, don't you know? Hooray for Jesus. I'd say that.
Hooray for Jesus.
Loud words, okay?
Hooray for Jesus.
All right. Amen. It's right. When we have Jesus on our team, he is with us always to help us with the problems of life. And we have lots of problems. In school, there's problems, right? And there's And we just have Jesus in our hearts. He's there within us by his Spirit. In Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So God is with us. So something to be very thankful for. So let's pray, okay? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a team member like no other. Help us all of us to look to Jesus when the enemies and troubles of this world try to overwhelm us. Father, we just ask that you would watch over each one here, these children, as they go on with life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we might need somebody to help give the papers out. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Johnny, for sharing. We thank God for all that Johnny does at our school. God gives him these ideas of these games, and it's pretty amazing. In a moment here, we'll look into the Word once the children are seated, but we're in Psalms 124 this morning, working through the Psalms of the Ascent, as they are called, one by one. There's 15 of them. Number 120 through 134 are the Psalms of the Ascent. Okay, thank you, Teresa, for doing that. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again and again for your Word, the very living Word of God, that we're privileged to have it available to us in every kind of way we can think of, Lord. But it's always good to come together as a congregation to look into your Word, and so we do this morning. Lord, help us to grasp hold of what you had for the people of Israel in the Old Testament and what you have for us today through these same Psalms of Ascent. Father, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit. To those gathered here, let our hearts and minds be centered upon you and your Word for this time and always, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 124, this is the fifth one, number 5 out of 15. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. All right, so these Psalms, as the people of Israel would come to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, they would sing these on their way, traveling to Jerusalem. And once they got there, as I told you, inside the temple, from the court of the women, let's say that's out there, to the court of the priests, there were 15 steps coming at this gate called the Gate of Nicanor, N-I-C-A-N-O-R, Nicanor. And they as well, the historians, sorry, of that time, like Josephus and some of them, tell us that some would stop on each of those steps one by one and sing those psalms. So Psalm 120, let's just start at the bottom for our review. That's the first one. I call to the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. They're starting out with that distress call in their lives, whatever they had been going through. We don't know all the details, but oftentimes we're in that place. Some of you are there right now in distress. I call to the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Answer, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Right. We know that psalm. So they're realizing, okay, I got to get my eyes. They're looking to the hills around Jerusalem as they're starting their journey. Psalm 122, they're there. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here we are standing in your gates, O Lord. They're there. Beautiful as it is, as it was in that day, the temple was incredible in their day. Psalm 122. Psalm 123, unto you, O Lord. Now, 121 was, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? 123, I lift my eyes unto you, O Lord, you who are enthroned in heaven. Now they're at the temple, basking in God's goodness and his presence, but yet they're still recalling what they had gone through in their lives. It talks about how greatly they were ridiculed and contempt. They were being despised, poured out upon them. But I'm lifting my eyes to you, Lord, in heaven, and they call out for his mercy three times. And then today, 124, guess we need to build some more steps here, huh? What do you think? Probably not. We'll just keep going back. 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, let the congregation say, if. Okay, that's you. Okay, sorry. Come on, that's where we get some of our responsive readings from, is right out of this. Let's try that again. If the Lord had not been on our side, and thank you, Caden, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, we've got to do that once more, please. Okay, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Okay, it's better. Oh, somewhat better. Yeah, when we come, that's what's happening here. When we, you know, I tell you, when you come into a greater place, a greater manifestation of God's presence, which can happen during our times of worship corporately, it can happen at home in your private prayer time and worship times where the Spirit of God just overwhelms you. And what happens in those times? You are able to look past what the issue is, which can be huge, and all of a sudden you see God and his greatness and his power, and you can say what Psalm 124 says right here. You know what? What if, that's your number one. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Wow. And you think back to things in your life where maybe near-death experiences. Some of you had had if. Two times we see that word if used in this first verse. So it's like he's saying, imagine back to a time, a really hard time where you were at, or maybe you're at right now. And if you're in it right now, you got to be saying it by faith. If you've come through a trial, which we all have, it's a lot easier to look back and think, wow, if God had not been on our side, how would we have ever, ever made it through this, whatever it was, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, whatever. You look back, right? If the Lord had not been on our side, and we know that God is faithful, and we can look, the meditation of your bulletin there is out of Psalm 118, verse 6, where it says twice, the Lord is on my side. And we know that, we should. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yeah, man could kill us. But if we know that God is on our side, we know what awaits us, don't we? Heaven, heaven, which is better by far. He says again, Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who are against me. If the Lord had not been on my side, Israel could say that countless times. And I just was thought real quick of four times in the Old Testament. But there are so many times where they could think back to God's faithfulness, even in times of their unfaithfulness, and God's deliverance. Exodus 15, they're coming through the Red Sea, right? After 400 some years in bondage as slaves. 400 years. And we think a month or two or three is more than enough. And I'm just the same. When it goes on and on, but 400 years, God delivers them, right, supernaturally, across the Red Sea they come. Well, before the sea parts, Pharaoh changes his mind. Here's the Egyptian army chasing them, their horses and their chariots. God did not tell Moses ahead of time what he was going to do at that instant. He had no clue. The people were calling out, you know, to him as the leader, oh, there's not enough graves in Egypt. Is that the plan of all this? We're going to die out here? And God says at the last minute, lift up your rod and see what I do. I'm paraphrasing there. Of course, he lifts the rod of God up. The sea parts. They're going through. The Egyptians are coming through after them. And you know the account, don't you? Once they get through, the sea closes and they're all drowned. And they start singing, Exodus 15, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. There's a song we used to sing. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. And on it goes, off of those verses. If the Lord had not been on their side, it would have been the end of Israel. Joshua 6, the battle of Jericho. The walls come tumbling down. Their little group, well, it wasn't a little group. It could have been 2 million people, but they didn't have anything. They had wandered in the desert the last 40 years. But God had a plan, didn't he? Because he was on their side, and they did what he said, and the walls came tumbling down. Walls. We have walls that get built up in relationships. We have all kinds of things that seem that they will never come down, that seem that there's never a way out, but there is. There is. How about the third one? We go to Judges chapter 6 and 7. This comes to Gideon when the Amalekites and the Midianites were attacking Israel, and by the thousands they came. And Gideon gets this army together of 32,000 men. And God says, nope, too many. Too many? Narrows it down to 10,000. How about that? Nope, too many. Narrows it down to how many? 300. Thank you. 300 men against the thousands of the Midianites and Amalekites. And God gets the victory. If the Lord had not been on our side. They're singing this. And last, 2 Kings chapter 19, when Hezekiah was king of Judah and the king of Assyria came against them and they were trapped again, no way out. And an angel goes in the night and kills 185,000 enemy soldiers. 185,000 in one shot. If the Lord had not been on our side. He's faithful. He is faithful. The when, and I left two blanks there, because that's for you to think about and fill in. Something that would come to mind as you're sitting here, or maybe today when you're having lunch and you're talking about with your family. You know what? Remember this situation? Wow, if the Lord had not been on our side. How would we have ever made it through that? He says it here, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us and when their anger flared against us, what? Verse 3, they would have swallowed us alive. In other words, certain death. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Do you get that, the picture? It's going from first a flood to a torrent. A torrent is defined as a violent or a rushing stream. A flood to a torrent to raging waters. Well, raging waters, I think we know. We've seen a lot of that right where we live this year, haven't we? We know the damage it can do. I was looking back. You know, these things happen and you sort of forget, when did that happen? I was trying to think when the first big devastation was this spring. It was there March 14th, March 13th and 14th, when they call it the bomb cyclone happened, when the Spencer Dam broke. That was March 14th at 5 in the morning down there. There had been, as I looked back at some of the news articles, 2 days before that, warmer, significant warmer temperatures all of a sudden, a lot of snow melt. We all know the ground was still frozen underneath, right? The day before, down there, 1.5 inches of rain. I think here it was well over 2 inches plus whatever in our area on that day. The ice chunks, massive things like we had never seen before. And it was those massive ice chunks, some as big as pickups, they said, coming against that dam there at Spencer that caused it to break. And the flood to the torrent to the raging waters and the destruction that came. Some lost their lives, didn't they? Houses, businesses, farms, total, just wiped out. I watched a couple YouTube videos of it this week, and just like a war zone, devastation, incredible. They said a wall of water was unleashed 11 to 15 feet high. Some of you, I imagine, you drove down there and you saw it shortly after or since it has happened, saw it with your own eyes. Devastation, right? Even here, livestock lost, fences wiped out. Some of you are still fixing the repaired, fixing fences from that devastation. Basements flooded, some with sewer backing up in it. Roads destroyed, we know that. Culverts washed out. Some of you are still driving around the long distance because culverts washed out. So we can relate, can't we, to this verse right here. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept it away if the Lord had not been on our side. Doesn't mean that just because he's on our side, things are easy street. I think we all know that, certainly. But it means because of his faithfulness, we keep our eyes on him and we trust in him. And by his grace, he takes us through whatever the losses might have been or might still be ongoing. But in all of this, let's think about spiritually too. We can say, spiritually, if the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? Lost, without Christ, destined for hell, eternal damnation. That's where we would be in all of this. Third, so the sixth verse, it says, praise be to the Lord. So the blanks, we can praise the Lord. We can, and we know that. These psalms, they are very simple, but boy, we got to be reminded of this again and again. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. A fowler, that's the one who traps the birds, right? We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Praise the Lord. Two times there we see that word, that phrase, we have escaped. And number one, that is spiritually. The devil, as 1 Peter tells us, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And how does a lion tear up its prey? With its teeth, right? Ripping it apart. Some of you have seen the new Lion King movie. They've redone it, right? You see the lions and all, well, it's the hyenas and all that stuff. Yeah? They rip stuff apart with their teeth. And so the devil is just as unmerciful as those hyenas, we would say, in trying to destroy, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, the Bible says. The birds, you know, some of you are hunters out there, and you have all different kinds of ways and methods that you hunt the birds depending on what kind. Is it a pheasant? Is it a Canadian goose? Is it a snow goose? Is it quail or whatever it might be? You have different methods for what it is you're hunting. And so the devil, yes, has many different traps that he tries to set for us as believers in Jesus Christ. And is he all-knowing? No, but he does know some of our weaknesses. He is familiar with that, and he knows how to set those traps. Is he all-powerful? No. Is he everywhere present? No, he is not. But he does go around seeking whom he may devour, because he hates us as God's children. But you know what? We've escaped from his snare. We've escaped. The snare has been broken. That's so awesome. Colossians 1:13 says, God has rescued us from the dominion, the power of darkness, and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, and that's Jesus, in whom we have redemption. Right? He's rescued us from that, so that as we live in him and his mercies and we walk in his forgiveness as we confess our sin, we don't have to fall back into the snare of the devil. He tries. Yes, do we fall? Many times over. But don't let the devil lie to your head and ever think, you know what, it's not worth it. I've been struggling against this thing for probably 20 years or more. I just can't do it. Yeah, in our own self, we can't. But that's where God comes in. Lord, I cannot do it. I surrender. That's where he wants us. I surrender. We sang a praise song that two Sunday nights ago. I surrender. It was so beautiful. It's on the Christian radio. You hear it. I surrender, Lord. I can't do this in my own strength. I need your help. It's what he wants us to do, because he's our Lord and our Savior. He's rescued us out of that. Acts 26:18. This was after Saul's conversion, when he became the Apostle Paul. And this, the conversion is in chapter 9 of Acts. But he's relating this, retelling this, Paul is, of when he had the vision of Christ on that day. And what was Jesus' message to the Apostle Paul? It was this: Paul, I am sending you to them. Them is the Jews and the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and have a place among those who are sanctified by me in faith. We have been rescued, and that's what this is all about every time we come to this table, that God has rescued us from the bondage of sin. Praise the Lord, he has. So we can say, as the last verse 8 says, the phrase, our help is in the name of the Lord. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Right. And that verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Remember, I told you one of those early Sundays, there are only 5 times in the Old Testament, when I first read that in a commentary, only 5 times where we see that phrase about God, the maker of heaven and earth. I thought, really? Is that really true? 5 times? I thought it would be multiplied times over. And I didn't go through all, but I looked through a lot of my big commentary to see, and it seems, that's correct. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And he's got you in his hands, and he watches over you. And so, We rest in Him in the midst of these difficulties, just like they sang these psalms. Boy, go through them. Hopefully you go through in these first five now that we've gone through. Try and get to where you can at least get that first phrase of each one. I call to the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. He does in His time. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here we are, standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. I lift my eyes unto you, Lord, you who are enthroned in heaven. And I call out for your mercy. God, I need your mercy in this situation. And today, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Oh, sorry, I said it for you, didn't I? We know we'd be in tough shape. And so we're here. We're here to come and partake of the Lord's Supper. Romans 5:8, God said, the word says, God demonstrates, He demonstrates His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news, isn't it? He didn't just talk about it, He demonstrated it. Romans 10, we know these verses. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And that we have to know when we come to this table. Are we saved? Do we know Christ as our Lord and our Savior? That is what this is all about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these psalms. They're just so beautiful to follow through each step of the way. And thank you, Jesus, for delivering us from the snares of the devil and the schemes that he has to try and trip us up. You are our faithful Lord and our Savior, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The consistory and those helping, we have some former consistory helping today with the Lord's Supper. You can be dismissed to the back, please. In your bulletin is the prayer of confession. We know we are told in Scripture that we are to examine ourselves, our hearts, our lives as we come to this day. And it is important that we do so. And so this prayer of confession is part of that. The songs we'll sing as the elements are being distributed, that's all part of it. Number one, Jesus, do I know you as my Lord and my Savior? If I were to die today, tonight, would heaven be my home? Well, I don't know. You need to know. Years gone by, it used to be so, oh, you can't say that. That's a prideful thing. No, it is not a prideful thing. It's nothing you have done or I have done. It's all about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. If we receive Him, it's about what He's done. 1 John says, these things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not, well, I hope so. No, you know. You can know that and need to know that. That's the first step. Second is there sin I need to confess just between you and your Lord? You confess it. So let's pray this prayer together as part of this, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for demonstrating your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? In Christ we can boldly say, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As we come to the table that you have prepared for us today, we confess our sins to you. Thank you for cleansing us and forgiving us through the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We ask for the help and power of your Spirit to obey your word and to live for you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we pray. Amen. Amen. If the consistory would come, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is a great honor and privilege and joy to come to this point in our worship service. It's all about you. It's all because what you have done, Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for this bread that represents your body, bruised and beaten beyond even recognition. And we thank you for that. Let this be sanctified. These cups of wine and juice representing the blood that you shed upon the cross, your very life-giving blood, your blood and your life that was lived without sin. Let these be sanctified for this time and this purpose as we partake of them. And let your healing flow as we partake of these elements to all gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. If you'd like to sing along with us, we'll sing 324. While the bread is being distributed, when I survey the wondrous cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory The Apostle Paul said, by the Spirit of God, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is hard for us to grasp all that you did, all that you went through, all that you took upon yourself. We know your word tells us and we're thankful for it. But the full understanding, Lord, forgive us for taking it lightly at times. Thank you for hanging on that cross in our place. In Jesus' name, amen. The innermost ring of each tray contains the grape juice. The outer ring contains wine, for whichever you prefer. Okay, thank you. 343, Amazing Grace. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Father, for the precious, powerful blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us, washes our sin away and makes us to be white as snow. Thank you for clothing us in your righteousness, Jesus, that we can say according to your word that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Consistory, for helping this morning with the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing at number 50 out of the praise books for our closing hymn, Shout to the Lord. Oh, we have so much to praise him for. Let's stand together as we sing this beautiful chorus. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his strength. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music.